It's a wonderful thing to be able to sing the praises of the Lord, and especially songs like that. And that's what we're called to do today, is to remain strong in the Lord and to preach the word, amen. That's what we're called. And as we have been going through looking at Satan, the father of lies, we come to a point now. We've got this week and next week, and then we'll start a series on Christmas. And then in the new year, we'll be looking at more amongst the demonic realm. But today we're going to be looking at the saints' authority over Satan. You know, people get very bored when they have to sit for a few weeks under a certain series of messages. I remember a great man of God, Gilbert Anger. He was he used to be a preacher to preachers going around the world, and he used to call into our place quite often as he left Sydney to travel around Australia. And he said to me, Dennis, he said, the average saint can bear about six messages on something, and that's enough for them. And as I said now, so this will be about number six on this one. But the one thing the devil doesn't want us to know is how he works. He honestly doesn't. You know, we're happy to listen to many things, but when it comes to the devil, he'll have you saying, oh, this is boring. He'll have you twitching in your seat saying, oh, what's the point of this? Well, the point of it is, if you've got family and friends and children, you want them to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And for that to happen, you're in a battle. You're in a battle, and you cannot frequent and places that are sinful and get away with it. You cannot dress sinfully, you cannot act sinfully, watch things sinfully that are of the flesh, as we learnt last week in our afternoon service, and get away with it. It just does not work. Now, the saints' authority over Satan is of great importance. You know, it's nothing to hear that Satan being referred to as His Majesty the Devil. Satanists use it. Many so-called rock music bands use it. I came across one called Their Satanic Majesty's Request and Sympathy for the Devil, all these sorts of things. But when a believer uses it, then they're giving him authority that's not rightly his. And you may say, well, I'm a believer. I've never called him my majesty. Well, are you living in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, or are you allowing the things of Satan into your home, into your life, into your marriage, into your children? Because one is an authority over the other. Whichever one you allow, as we have learnt, is the authority of a person's life or in the home. And if a believer attributes authority to Satan, they will certainly submit to that authority and be brought under Satan's influence. Now, we've been looking at biblical teaching concerning Satan, his ways and his character. And if we're to defeat our enemy, we must also recognize the authority God has given to us over Satan. And that is only because of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God's word is very clear that Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. In John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not made anything that was made. Colossians 1:16 reinforces that. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. So we see absolutely everything in this world consists because of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing new, nothing's evolved over millions of years of time and become something different to other than what God has created it. And we see here in Colossians there, thrones, dominions, principalities and powers. And they're referring to the hierarchies of created angelic beings read about often in the scriptures. And they're all created by God. And John reminds us there that all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You see, not only did Jesus create the material universe, He also created the angelic realm as well. And we've already studied that Lucifer was created by God, rebelled against God. He was a creature and rebelled against his creator. He declared his independence from God and led an innumerable number of angels in rebellion against God. And they became demons, or the King James Bible puts it as devils, who opposed, when Christ was on this earth, they opposed his ministry vehemently. And they still do today. The scriptures show that Christ was in a near constant battle with demons. And these demons possess a personality. They acknowledge Satan as their ruler, and they resist God, God's plan, God's program, and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's hard to miss that many of the Lord's miracles were done in the demonic realm. He delivered men, women, and children from bondage to the devil, from physical afflictions that were the direct result of Satan's control or demonic control. So what does that mean? Does it mean anything? Well, it does, because it shows us that Christ did not only come to redeem man back to God, but he also came to rule and reign. He came not only to be a saviour, he came also, as I've mentioned before, to be a sovereign. He came to take from Satan the right to rule and reign that had belonged to Adam. Why? So that he, that's Jesus, might bring in his kingdom on this earth. And if he's to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he must be able to overrule the authority that Satan has on this earth. You know, every miracle in the demonic realm that Christ performed was proof of his authority over Satan. All the demons that confronted Christ, you know, when you read the scripture, they all acknowledged his authority with no doubt whatsoever. In James 2:19, we read, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." You see, not one demon from hell has ever questioned the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet many men live in unbelief. This world is full of people who are skeptical concerning who Christ is. They do not want to acknowledge him. They do their best to, at times like Easter and Christmas that's coming up, to water down and take away the real message that's for the world to hear, that Christ came into the world, that he was born of a virgin, he was God in the flesh, that he went to a cross and he suffered and died for the sins of this world, for your sin and mine, and has ascended back to heaven and is coming again. Satan doesn't want the world to know that. He wants to paint a little picture around it and just say, "Oh, okay, then we'll put a little donkey in a stable over here, but we'll promote all the rest of it in bright lights here." What he wants people to know. But not one demon has ever questioned the authority of Christ. And yet men live in unbelief. Do you know that today even believers are living in that unbelief? They don't worship the Lord the way they should. They're not living lives that are bringing glory and honor to his name. They make excuses for their sin. And yet we will see this morning we don't have an excuse. We need to put our hands up and acknowledge the fact, "Lord, I'm not watering it down. I sin. Forgive me. Oh, Lord, I couldn't." Don't make excuses. We can help it. The Bible tells us, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." We can help it. Yes, we're going to sin, but we've got to acknowledge it and confess it. And the promise is he'll forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, demons understand that there's a judgment to come. In fact, they went a step further and recognize Jesus as the Son of God. Matthew 8:29. "And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" They know it's coming. And that "what have we to do with thee" in the Greek means, "What do we have in common with you?" They've got nothing in common with him. That is why they believe and tremble. They understand the authority of Christ. They know what is to come. And they tremble. And as believers, we understand the authority of Christ. We know what's to come. Do we even shake when we look at our lives? What are the standards that we're allowing? When Jesus and his disciples came to the place called the Gadarenes and confronted the man demon-possessed, the Lord asked the question, "What is thy name?" And he answered, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Now Mark 1 also tells us in verse 23 and 24, "And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us,'" notice the plural, "'alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." So we've got demons acknowledging Jesus as the Son of God. We've got demons acknowledging Jesus as the Holy One of God. And they wanted to know if Jesus had come to destroy them. They acknowledge his right of authority over them. And I think, when was the last time I truly acknowledged his right of authority over me? He has the right to rule, doesn't he? Amen, does he? He has the right to expect my walk to honor him, doesn't he? And these demons acknowledged him as the Holy One of God. They wanted to know if he had come to destroy them, and they acknowledged his right of authority over them. They tried to resist coming out of this man, and the scripture says even they were tearing at the body of this man. But they were unable to resist the authority of Christ. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace, come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. You see, Christ had absolute authority over the demonic realm, and this man, racked with violent convulsions, rose to wholeness, joy, and peace because Christ had set him free. And in Colossians 2:15, he says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." You see, when Jesus went to the cross, when he died and was buried and rose again, see, he spoiled, in other words, he robbed the demonic world. He robbed Satan of the powers of their assumed authority on this earth. And up until the cross, Satan claimed and laid claim to all the authority on this earth. He had set himself up as the prince of the power of the air, as the god of this world. Listen, he has a kingdom, and he's the head of untold millions of demons. And the Greek tells us this verse refers to open warfare. See, Jesus went into battle, it was open warfare. And he won the battle, and he stripped the enemy of all their weapons. And it was Jesus who challenged the devil to the authority that rightfully belonged to him. But it wasn't until he went to the cross that he joined into that battle about that authority. And by his death and resurrection, by his ascension, he has absolute authority over Satan and all the demonic world. Our text in Ephesians chapter 2, if you're not there, we'll read that again. And it says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew forth the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We see here that the authority of Christ now belongs to who? The believer. Why? Because the believer is now one in and with Christ. You see, of ourselves, we have no authority over Satan at all. We are a poor, it's a poor mismatch. Of ourselves, we have no strength to defeat him, to even resist him. Men were created a little lower than the angels, Psalm 8. The order was God, angels, men, animals. Man does not have authority over angels, whether they're fallen or not. By creation, man was a lesser level than angels. And if man is to have authority over Satan and his hierarchy, man must be given an authority greater than he had at creation. And we need to see this, because until we understand, we have no authority of ourselves as men or women, we're going to live a defeated life. A very defeated life. A life under the authority of Satan. Why? Because we have not appropriated that which has been given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. See, in the resurrection, Christ was placed in authority over every realm. Now, if you look at Ephesians 1, just go back a couple of verses from chapter 2. In verse 22, it says, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church." Now, if you go to verse 20, "He raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places." And what does 2:1 tells us? And you tells us Jesus has joined us to himself, and that means we have been identified with him. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, when Jesus died, we died. When Jesus was buried, we were buried. When Jesus rose from the dead, we rose from the dead. When he ascended back to the Father in heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father, we are seated with him spiritually right at this moment. Amen? That's a wonderful place to be. And if you're born again, you can never be separated from Christ. If you are born again, you are in him and he is in you. You cannot lose your salvation, no matter what man tries to teach you. It is a permanent, never to be repeated event, an action. And if you have it, it's yours forever. If you're saved, you're saved. And if you're saved, you know it. And don't let the devil rob you of the blessed hope that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming again before the wrath of God. Amen? Amen. The church won't see the wrath of God. Yes, we're under the wrath of man, but not the wrath of God. He's coming again, and he's promised to keep us from that day, and he keep us, he will. And in Ephesians 2, 5 and 6, it tells us, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." See, dead in sins, he quickened us. That is, he made us alive together with Jesus Christ. And what we are being taught is when Christ ascended back to heaven, we believers ascended with him. When he was seated at the right hand of God on the throne there in glory, we're seated with him at the right hand of the God of God in glory. Now pay attention. When God gave Jesus authority over Satan and the demonic realm, he has given us that same authority over them as well. Authority we didn't have as a natural man, as an unsaved man. Man was created under angels by way of creation, but being born again, we become new creations in Christ Jesus, and we're now above them. But as long as we try to live life for ourselves, and I'm talking about believers now, as long as we try and live outside the authority of Christ, we're no match for Satan. No match at all. But if we walk in the newness of life, if we walk filled with the Spirit, the promise is we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And if we walk in the Spirit, being born again, new creatures in Christ, we're now above angels and we have authority over them, the authority that Christ has. By his death and resurrection, we have died and resurrected with him. But as long as one lives a life with Satan in control, then they're referring to him as the majesty. If you understand what I'm saying, say amen. Very simple. I like simple messages because I'm a simple person, amen. That's it. But if you're not, you're giving him the authority that Jesus shows by his death to be no authority at all. If you're a believer, that has no authority over you. See, no one in and of themselves is a match for the devil. But when we stand sure, when we stand fast in the power of the cross, in the power of that resurrection, in the power of the ascension, we are definitely more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Listen, Satan, we have learned, is the biggest deceiver there has ever been or ever will be. And he's deceiving many because they have talked themselves into believing that they're no match for him and they give in to him. They can't resist it. I think we learned last week, you've got a choice. When sin's promoted to you, you've got a choice whether you sin or whether you're not. You've got a choice whether you follow Satan or whether you don't. Follow Satan, you make him majesty. Follow Christ, you make him King of Kings. You see, the lie of the devil is you can't resist him. But as a born-again believer in Christ Jesus, joined with him, you and I have the same authority as Christ. And brothers and sisters, that's the grace of God that's been given to us. So what authority does Christ have over Satan? You know, when Jesus asked Peter who he thought he was in Matthew 16:16, Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed in that passage of Scripture how Satan responded to that. Verse 22, Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." That's Satan at work. And I'll prove that to you in a moment. Rebuke means to grab someone by the shoulders and shake them violently. Satan didn't want the Lord to go to the cross. It's the last thing he wanted. Christ's response was, he turned to Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You see, Christ could see Peter was being used like a vehicle by Satan to mouth his own ways and try and prevent the cross. Now, what effect did Christ's rebuke have on Peter? Well, 1 Peter 5:8 gives us the effect. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. See, Peter wants his people, his flock, to realize they can't outrun or hide anywhere from Satan. See, what they are to do is to resist him by being steadfast in the faith. They were to resist, in other words, stand against the devil. You see, when Satan, he can't know what we think, but when he passes a temptation our way, we may think the best thing to do is, look, I'm going to run and I'm going to hide. I'm going to lock myself up from it. What I'll do is I'll take my family and I'm going to lock my family away and protect them from the devil. That's not biblical. The best thing we are to do, according to the word of God, is to stand actively against him. That's God's way. That's what Peter learned, and that's what Peter told his flock to do. The only way to meet Satan is to oppose him steadfast in the faith. Don't hide under the bed. Don't lock yourself in a closet. Don't wrap yourself in cotton wool. Put on the armor of God. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Again, resist. Actively oppose the devil. You know, we tend to think he has no fear, but the truth is, he's nothing but a mongrel coward. You know, I've shared this illustration before, I'll share it again. You know, a lion roars after it kills something to keep the scavengers away. He's afraid something else will come in and take away what's his. See, the desire of the devil is to damn souls to hell. But when a person gets saved, the devil doesn't give up. He now wants to devour our testimony. He wants to devour our influence as a believer. And he'll do whatever he can. It's called the wiles of the devil to make us think we can't stand against him, that we've got to run and hide away from him. We've got to cower away from him. And God says, resist, stand fast, go on the attack. Because we are in Christ, because we are seated with him, this is our authority over Satan. But too many just cower away from them. They're too scared to do anything. They're definitely too scared to stand up for the Lord, amen. That's a sad, sad thing for Christians today. Do you know what the Christians today are doing? You only got to see Satan's church on the internet, don't you? Let's dress like the world. Let's act like the world. Let's play the world's music. We'll be fine. That's the devil's greatest counterfeit of Jesus Christ, is the modern day charismatic Pentecostal movement. Do you know that the Roman Catholic Church was losing so many people to that other fake church? This is amazing. They started up a charismatic church. So they have two churches. They have their traditional church and now they have a charismatic church because they were losing millions and millions of people to the charismatic movement in South America. So, well, how do we counterfeit a counterfeit? Make another counterfeit. Now we're told, wherefore, in Ephesians 6:13, take unto you the whole armour of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, withstand is the exact same word as resist in James and 1 Peter, the same word. It means going on the attack. And when we appropriate by faith the armor of God, we are protected. We're to face the devil. Why do you think the armor of God's got no back plate? We're not to return and run. We're to stand forth. The arrows won't go in. You turn your back and run, and they'll certainly hit their target. When we resist Satan in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and that's his full title, brothers and sisters, we will stand, but only when we do. There's no other way to stand against the devil. Notice the word there, take. Not make. Take the armor that's already made. You try and make your own armor, it's going to fail. And there's a huge difference. You see, man may make armor that seems strong. It seems like it's able to protect them from the devil. But that's not the armor we're told to take. We're told to take the armor of God. The armor that brings victory, we take by faith as the Lord God supplies us. And we take it all, the whole armor. And that enables us to stand firm in that evil day. And it says, having done all, to stand. You see, God did not send his Son into this world to die in our place so that we could live the life of a coward defeated by the devil. God's word declares Christ victorious over the world, the flesh, and the devil. All authority God's given to his Son. And Christ has given it to us so we may resist, stand firm against the devil, just as Jesus did when he looked at Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Listen, if we were to hear someone say those words, we'd probably be surprised, especially if they were friends. But Satan's not slow on using someone close to you to say something that really does need a rebuke in the name of Jesus Christ. And it shows just how little we understand the victory God has given us through his Son over the devil. You see, God has said the same authority Jesus had over Satan has been given to us who are in Christ Jesus. Why? So we can withstand the devil's onslaughts. Listen, we have no rights of ourselves. We cannot match him without the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. We don't need to run and hide, though. We don't need to fall because of our position as a son of God. And many people, and listen carefully, go through constant fears. They subject themselves to frets and worries. Why? Because we've never appropriated and exercised the authority God has given to us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's ask ourselves something. We'll close. Would God lie? He can't lie. Would he send you and me as his children into battle with the devil with armor and weapons that can be defeated? No. Never would he even do so. So if God says to us, resist the devil and he will flee from you, then by the authority of Jesus Christ, he has to. Amen? Amen. That's the authority we have. But until we settle the question, am I going to live for Christ, really live for him? Or am I going to keep trying to battle my own way through in the flesh? Until we settle that question, we'll live a defeated life. And God doesn't want that from us. He wants the victory that Christ has to be ours. And we can have it. God's given it to us. It's signed and it's sealed for eternity. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the simplicity of the word. that, Lord, may be recognized just how complex it was for you to do this for us. But Lord, you're all knowing, and you've outwitted the devil, and we stand firm upon solid ground because of Christ our Savior. We thank you for the wonderful truth that we are his and he is ours, and all things pertaining to him are ours, Lord. And we praise you for that. We praise you. We haven't been saved to be defeated. We've been saved to have victory. And Lord, may we live in that victory, knowing that nothing can separate us from your love. Nothing, Lord, can overcome us, because we are more than conquerors. We are the overcomers in Christ Jesus. These things we pray in his precious name. Amen.